We're grateful once again for this day and this season of the year where we can just ponder the reality of the new life you give us in a relationship and a walk with Christ. And it's true that you can transform us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would take our minds now and think through them. Take my lips and speak through them. Take our wills and bend them to your own. And take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you and for your Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, in our sermon series on the big picture, we're in the Easter season, and it's just so glorious to look at these post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. We saw it on Easter Sunday last week. Scott focused on verses 20 and 21 of John, where John's just giving the commentary. You know, I write these things to you that you may believe. And today, the lectionary turns to Luke in his account of what the disciples were seeing. And what we see here, and what we see Jesus teaching the disciples and therefore teaching us, that there is a resurrection for them and us that we are to wait for later, and there's a resurrection that we can experience right now. Right now, in a walk with him. And here's why this matters. Tertullian, the great church father, wrote famously, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." You've probably heard that at some time or another. Well, that doesn't sound welcoming and warm. But the reason he could say that is because the early church stood firm for the reality of the gospel no matter the cost. And it amazed the world. And the gospel spread like wildfire all over the ancient world. I mean, there's something in a person that stands there and sings the hymns in the Colosseum without a sword as the gladiators approaching them. They were known to do that. They were known to go to places of great plague and minister to the needs and the sick at the cost of some of their lives. They were known to go to the church dump and pick up the babies that nobody else wanted and bring them into their homes, especially the girls. Because if a girl couldn't carry on the family name, what good is she? And they would get rid of her. I mean, can you imagine? But the church picked them up, brought them into the house. And they did so at a great cost. So on the one hand, no one faced suffering and death and difficulty like the early church and the Christians. The Stoics of their day, the philosophicals of their era, kept a stiff upper lip. But a stiff upper lip wouldn't help you in the Colosseum. There was also the escapists, and we have that today, right? You know, the escapism that was in the ancient culture, just eat, drink, for tomorrow we die attitude. Well, we see that in today's world. That's what country music's all about. You know, it really is. You know, much of it's just let's escape from the world and its troubles. But we have it in all our advertisements. You know, the retirement of your dreams, the possessions of our dreams, the songs that we sing, just escaping, trying to withdraw. Well, you didn't see that in the early church. They engaged the culture, as we've already said. So that's why Tertullian said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, because the culture was saying, look at how these people live. How could they live that way? Because they understood the nature of the resurrection, the life that it gives us in the present. So I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 36. Because Jesus is saying there's a resurrection in the future and an understanding what leads to this kind of life. And there's a resurrection that we experience now so that the understanding of the resurrection in the future becomes operational in our day-to-day life. And it's absolutely revolutionary. For as we trust in the atoning work of Christ for us, what ends up happening is we experience a radical transformation. So let's look at this. First, the nature of the resurrection. First, we notice in this resurrection and the nature of Jesus and his resurrected body. First, he passes through walls. Notice it says, as they were talking about these things. Well, what were they talking about? Well, the Emmaus Road disciples in Luke chapter 24 had just come from Emmaus to tell them they've seen the risen Jesus Christ. So they're talking about that with them when all of a sudden Jesus himself stood among them. And he said to them, peace be with you. There's a reason he said, peace be with you. Because he just appeared. And if Jesus just appeared to you, you might be a little startled. Right? It doesn't say, it's very carefully chosen. It doesn't say he walked through the wall. It says he came and stood. Book of John, chapter 20, the very same incident is mentioned. John notes that the doors are locked. Why were they locked? Remember Resurrection Sunday? Well, the founder of their faith had been killed. They thought he was still dead. The soldiers were going through the streets looking for them, and so their doors were locked, and Jesus appeared. It would make sense that they locked the doors, and suddenly Jesus stood among them. And if you go back earlier in reading the account with the Emmaus Road disciples, the two disciples were looking at Jesus and were told as he broke the bread, then they recognized him. And he disappeared into thin air. Now he appears out of thin air. He stood among them. There he was. He passes through walls. Secondly, we notice in the nature of the resurrection, he has full use of his senses. Verse 37, but they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. There it is. They're scared. He already said, peace be with you, but they don't get it yet. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. I can touch. I can see. I can hear. I can be seen. I can be heard. I can eat. And the first thing he doesn't say, now sit down, boys, I got something to teach you. He doesn't do that. What does he say? Got any food? Right? Touch me, feel me. I'm not a spirit. I love the old King James. It says, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. It's the most remarkable thing, you know, about he sat down and he ate. They fed him a piece of fish. I said it Easter Sunday and I didn't get a response. Dead people don't eat. That's the whole point. He's risen from the dead and he's hungry. He needs something to eat. He ate in their presence. He has all the feelings. He can pass through walls. He can touch. He can taste. He can see and be seen. He can hear and be heard. He has full use of his senses. Third, the nature of the resurrection. It's Jesus. It really is the same Jesus that 2 days was on the cross. 3 days ahead. He says to them, it is I myself. It's still me. It's not so much a brand new body, it's a renewed body. It's not a new self, it's a renewed self. It's still Jesus. But all of our past memories are our memories together, boys. It's still me. And what is he saying here? It's your future. I am the firstborn from the dead. I'm the firstborn of the new creation. This is what is in store for you. And so that's the first thing we learn, and this is important for us to get this point. The world thinks it's crazy, you know, and it's full of some mystery. They think it's a hoax. It can't all be true. And they say the way we can understand these resurrection narratives is that they're spiritual experiences. I did have one person at Jake's say that to me. You know, those resurrection experiences were spiritual in nature. And I said, well, that's interesting, because Jesus was hungry for a fish sandwich. You know, spirits don't eat. It's a mystery. He's fully spirit, fully physical. It's a category buster. There's no philosophy or religion or human category for this. So first of all, we think you're either a spirit or a body. If you're a spirit, you can pass through walls, but you can't eat fish. If you can eat fish, then you have to deal with the same kind of problems that we all have and the limitations that we all have. But that's not what's happening here. Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, so it will be with the resurrection from the dead. The body that is sown perishable will be raised imperishable. The body that is sown in dishonor will be raised in glory. It's not a spirit, not a body, a spiritual body. That's the nature of the resurrection. And that in faith in Jesus Christ, that's our future. Therefore, that leads to the hope that we have in the future. And that can respond today. So what's the first thing in a response in the present resurrection life that we have? First, it leads us to respond. Notice in verse 41, and while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, then they gave him a piece of fish. They marveled at him. Do we marvel at the risen Jesus? Do we speak of him in such a way? As I've said since Christmas, nobody ever responded to Jesus Christ the way our neighbors respond to him. Oh yeah, I believe that. And then just live the life the way they want to live. Nobody ever did that. When you met the risen Jesus, you either ran away scared or you marveled. And that's what the disciples are modeling for us. No, it says they disbelieved for joy. I imagine he just appeared and they're like, ha, ha, what's this? Right? No, they marveled at him. Secondly, it gives you a peace that does truly pass understanding. How can I say that? You're not going to miss a thing in the future. Live without regrets, my friends, but don't say, I never saw the Grand Canyon, or I never saw Greece, or I never saw any of the seven world wonders. Who cares? You're not going to miss a thing because we're headed for the new creation. Don't tell me about your bucket list. I don't care. I've never seen the Grand Canyon. I don't know if I will ever see it, but if I do see it, I'm going to see the renewed Grand Canyon. It's going to be better than the original. Okay? So you're not going to miss out on anything. People say, you know, I've had a lousy marriage. I've struggled my whole life financially. No, don't worry about it. You have great rest in your future, and a great peace, and a great joy, and a great hope, because you're a prince of the king, a princess of the king. And therefore, it gives you peace and rest as you respond. Third, it increases your love for others. Because as we live in God's kingdom, we discover that we are increasingly loving to those with whom we have nothing in common with but this trust in the gospel. Personal relationships are of infinite value. C.S. Lewis, in his great sermon, The Weight of Glory, said it this way: it is a serious thing to remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship. There are no such things as ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. See, people mean something. The person you are sitting next to will live forever, created in the image of God. There are great possibilities, and they're filled with them. So they're either going to go out and they're going to blossom, or they're going to go out and live their life their way. Friends, don't be afraid. We have great hope. And the most messed up person who becomes a Christian, the sky's the limit. Invest in relationships. Invest in love relationships, because relationships mean everything. So we respond to this nature that we have in our future and the present by responding, by being peaceful and resting in that peace, increasing our love for one another. And fourth, we live to proclaim. Notice what he says in verse 47. He says, he talks about his resurrection and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. You see, if you're not afraid of death anymore, you're not afraid of anything. You walk around as a child of the King, and you're not really worried about what people think. And therefore, we live for Him. And because of living for Him, it's a game changer. So do you believe in the doctrine of the resurrection? Are you living a peaceful life, an increasingly loving life to those around us here in the 1030 Christ Church family? Are you striving for that? If not, well, let's meet Him now. Because He also says how we can do so. Because in verse 44, He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of prophets in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. So how can you meet Him now? Look at His wounds. He's there in front of them, and the wounds are still there. Isn't that fascinating? That in Christ's resurrected body, the wounds of His hands and His feet are visible for the disciples to see. This is how much I love you. And it was His wounds that transformed them. Have you met Him through those wounds? Really? Or is He just kind of a concept to you? And you've looked at Jesus as being some kind of example. You looked at His teaching. And you've looked at Him in a general kind of way. No, look at His wounds. Look at Him dying for you. Look at Him dead for you. And so how do you do that? By looking into the Scriptures. And notice it says, He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. That's how you meet Him. Jesus Christ comes into your life with redemptive action. And every time He does so, it feels like an increasing surrender. And the first thing He does, He shows up. Even though it's kind of disturbing, even kind of you're a little troubled and scared, the first words out of His mouth are, "Peace be with you." The way He always comes to you, He starts trying to put something in your life that might disturb you, upsets you, and is driving you towards Him, and then He says, "Peace be to you." It's pretty amazing. Even Jesus Christ can be glad of his wounds. They were horrible to receive, but he was glad for them because of how God used him to redeem us. And every Christian I know eventually will be glad of their wounds, because you will know the things that are troubling you right now are pushing you toward the God who says, "Peace be to you." But the bad things in your life, he'll push you toward him. Then you have to look at his wounds as you read the scripture and he opens your mind to the reality of his amazing grace. The angels said to the women back in the first part of Luke 24, remember what he said. They didn't even give their opinion. They just stood speechless. Remember what he said. Jesus on the road to Emmaus says, look at the scriptures. And Jesus said to the disciples, look to the scriptures. And if you look to the scriptures, especially the gospels, read about him dying, you will meet him. And then you will have the peace of responsiveness. You'll have a peace that does truly surpass all understanding. You have a love for one another and a boldness to live this life. Not perfectly, but as a child of the King. It's possible. Let us go to him and pray for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful word which reminds us of the nature of the resurrection. That there will be a day when we too will pass through walls, have full use of our senses, eat fish, and we'll be us. It'll be us as we've always been, yet renewed. And so, Lord, with that to look forward to, I pray that we would respond with marvel, that we would be in awe of who you are and what you've done for us in Jesus, that you would give us that peace. Because we're not going to miss a thing in this. That anything that we've missed in this life will be made up for in the new earth. And help us to love one another. Because that person who's sitting next to us is going to live forever. And we would be tempted to worship them because of what they're going to be in that new creation. And may we live, not in our own strength, but filled with your Holy Spirit, boldly join you in the work around us. As we proclaim that this story is true, and because if it's true, we can live with such confidence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.